Welcome to number four of this powerful video that we've been doing titled Seven Mistakes Single Men Make. This is point number four. It is not praying about marriage. All right? This is a common mistake single men make. Not praying about marriage. Listen, guys, you need God. You need God. The earlier you realize it, the better. The earlier you are, you see, when they say you are the head of the home and things like that, you can't lead that home without God. So the earlier you build a good relationship with God, the better. The earlier you learn to start putting God first, to start seeking God's face, to start being led of God and guided, you know, by God's Spirit, the better. You can't choose your partner right without God's guidance. Many people make that mistake. They think, oh, I have what it takes. You know, I'm a sharp guy. You know, I know what's up. You know, so I can use my local intelligence. I can use my experience as a bad boy to just pick a fine girl. It doesn't work like that. Marriage is bigger than that. It's not all that glitters that is gold. You can't depend on just your natural or native wisdom. You need God's guidance. Marriage is such a big deal that you need God's guidance. Let me read you a scripture. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Very important. You don't trust your own intelligence. Don't trust what you think you know. Don't trust what you think you are seeing. Not all that glitter is gold. I mean, there are a lot of women that can do magic. I mean, they can put on a show for you. There are a lot of women that can hide the truth from you. But you see, when you follow God, you can never miss it. When you depend on God's guidance, you can never miss it. Many men are not married today because they are trying to find a wife in their carnal or natural wisdom or natural abilities. They are only looking out for qualities they think they can see, not knowing that there are a lot of qualities you can't see. And that is why you need God. That is why you need God. Trust in the Lord. Seek his face. Start to pray. If you're not married now, if you've not seen somebody, start to pray ahead that God will guide you when the time comes. Start to pray ahead that you and this person that God has for you will meet. And even when you meet the person, also be praying for God's guidance and God's leading. All right, get out of your head and get into your heart. Men make that mistake a lot. Men somehow just think, we don't need God. I'm smart enough. I can figure this out. I know what I'm looking for. I want a girl from my tribe. I want a girl that is fair. I want those things might not count at the end of the day. You need to pray, humble yourself. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. You know, if you are lacking grace in a certain area, it's usually because you are not humble. When you humble yourself, God gives grace to the humble. So get out of your head on what you think you know, and humble yourselves and get into your heart, because God usually speaks to us through our heart. Our heart here is talking about spirit man. God speaks to us to our heart. I'm not talking about your heart in terms of feelings. I'm talking about your heart in terms of your spirit man. God speaks to us in terms of our heart. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're a child of God, you are entitled to being led by God. Jesus Christ said, my sheep know my voice. All right, very important. You need to get out of your head and get into your heart and start to listen, start to pray. Even if you think you're not even of age yet, start to pray in advance. Women do that a lot. Women start praying ahead. Men usually don't pray. They just feel like I can do this. No, remove your confidence from yourself and start to pray. Wisdom points. Wisdom points for this point. Number one, start praying about your life partner. Start praying right now. Start praying every day when you pray. Say, hey, God, I understand the importance of marriage. I understand the importance of marriage in my long-term happiness. I understand the importance of marriage regarding my destiny. So, Lord, I'm praying for that right person that you have for me. So start to pray. Start to pray about the kind of woman you want. Number two, start to seek God's leading. You know, don't even wait till it gets to marriage. Start practicing now for God to lead you even in other things. That's how you perfect how to hear God. Start to perfect it. Now let God lead you in terms of the course to study, the school to go to, where to live, you know, what job to apply for. Start practicing hearing God. You see, when it came to me picking my wife, that wasn't the first time I was hearing God. I had been guided and led by God in all that decisions. It's always a challenge when the first time you want to hear God is regarding marriage and you have never been used to hearing God before. That becomes risky. All right, so start to seek God's leading in smaller things in your life, in bigger things in your life. Start to make it a habit to always ask God. Make it a habit to acknowledge Him. Say, acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will direct your path. So always make it a habit that says, to say, God, this is what I'm trying to do. Please guide me. Please lead me. I want to know what your mind is, what your will is regarding this issue. You know, get messages or videos that teach on how to be guided by God. Because God still speaks, guys. God still leads. And I want to encourage young men to start learning how to seek God and pray. Number three, the last one, confirm from God. Even when you feel God is leading you, please take time to confirm. You know, you've met somebody you like everything about her. Don't just rush. Still take time and say, hey, God, I want to know if this is you. And I have many stories of people that almost entered a detrimental relationship, and God, you know, rescued them. God spoke to them. God opened their eyes. You know, sometimes you can pray that, Lord, if there are anything I need to know, open my eyes, and you'll be amazed. Some people, the person has been pretending well all along will just show some kind of character flaws that will make them know this thing can work. Or a secret will just be revealed that was hidden before. So take time to confirm from God. All right? That's number three. All right, so now we're dealing with point number five from the video, seven mistakes men make, seven common mistakes young men make, all right, single men make. Now, point number five is taking advantage of women. Many single men make that mistake. You take advantage of women. It's a no-no. You need to understand that all women, all the ladies are God's daughters. They are God's daughters. You need to think twice, you know, about taking advantage of them. All women are God's daughters, and you deserve to treat them with respect, deserve to treat them with honor, because women generally can get vulnerable with men, all right? Women generally can get vulnerable with men, and when they are doing that, they are seeking your protection. They are seeking your comfort, all right? Be careful not to, you know, exploit them, instead protect them. So like I like to say, you know, they should be protected, not exploited. Don't be tempted to take advantage of a woman because she's been vulnerable to you. Don't be tempted. It's a big temptation, but don't do it. She's vulnerable to you because she wants to be protected and not exploited. All right? Let me read the scripture to you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2. Apostle Paul here was mentoring Timothy, and was teaching him. He said, treat the elder women as mothers, he said, and the younger as sisters with all purity. All right, he said, treat the elder women in the church as your mothers. He said, the younger as sisters with all purity. Very important. So don't sow what you don't want to reap. Don't sow what you want to reap. All right, treat the women in your life with honor and with respect. They deserve to be protected. I've seen so many women being thrown away, you know, out there in the wild, and the men didn't protect them. The men in their lives didn't protect them. Either the fathers, the brothers, the friends, the brothers in Christ in church did not protect them. Instead, they took advantage of them. Don't fall for that temptation. It's something you will live to regret, because those people are God's daughters, and whatever you do to them, God will fight for them. You need to realize that. All right? So treat them with honor and respect. A few things you should not do if you're a young man. Don't start relationships just for fun. A lot of young men do that. You just start relationships for the fun of it. You are less busy. You are bored. And you start a conversation. You stir up love in a woman just for the fun of it. You know this thing is not going anywhere. You know you don't want any long-term thing. You are just starting the relationship for fun. Don't do it. All right? Don't do it. Those are just for fun. Next thing, don't enjoy husband benefits with boyfriend commitment. You know you don't want anything long-term, but you are taking advantage of this girl. You are taking her money. You are sleeping with her, having sex with her, and you are she's cooking for you and cleaning for you. But you know you don't want it. You are enjoying the benefits of a husband, even though you are just a boyfriend. Don't do it. Okay? Don't do it. It's too risky. Then the last one here, don't lead ladies on. That means, hey, you know you don't really want a relationship, but you are sliding into her DM, sending her WhatsApp message morning and night, and you are using endearments. I love you, I miss you, kisses, all the emojis, love emoji, and you know you don't want anything. Don't, and you're even doing it with five or six different ladies at the same time. hey, man, you need to use your energy for something more positive. You are wasting energy you could have used to run 5 or 6 businesses. You are using to run 5 or 6 women. You are wasting energy. I'm telling you, you don't need to do that. And you see, like I said, God will fight for his daughters. So you are setting yourself up for failure. Don't do it. Don't lead them on. All right? Don't lead women on. Wisdom points. Wisdom points. Number one, you know, treat ladies with respect. Make up your mind from today that you will treat all the ladies you see with respect. You will never look down on them. You never take advantage of them. You will treat them with honor and respect like they are your sisters, okay? And point number two, think about how you can act better. Are there areas right now, are there relationships you have right now, you know, that you feel you can do better, you can do differently? You've not handled it well in the past, and you can change your ways. You can become better and civil in your dealings with women, all right? Think how you can act better. Number three, see all ladies as your sisters. That's what Paul told Timothy. See the young girls as your sisters. So imagine this person is your sister. You know, how would you treat them? You usually would want to protect them. And they're saying that's exactly what you should do, all right? Those are the wisdom points. Go and apply it. See ya. Hi there. So we are at point number 6 of this video titled 7 Mistakes Single Men Make. 7 Mistakes Single Men Make. Point number 6, don't measure your value by money alone. Don't measure your value by money alone. Men may always make that mistake. Men make that mistake. Yes, I agree that God gave Adam work before he gave him a wife. All right? So I understand the place of work and money. It's important for you as a man to work and to earn money. However, we're trying to say don't make your whole value about what you have per time. Don't make your whole value about money all the time. There's more to you than the money you have. I agree God gave Adam work before he gave him money. So there's no room for laziness. There's no room for a guy remaining broke all his life. I understand that. A man needs to work. A man needs to be responsible. You know, because interestingly, these days we have a lot of men that don't want to do anything. They just want to leave off a woman. You know, so that is a no-no. That is, I mean, you are breaking all the protocol God has planned. So you are not supposed to go and chase a woman if you don't have a work. You definitely, you know, have to get work before you get a wife. God gave Adam work before he gave him a wife, all right? A man is not allowed to be lazy. That's why you are made physically stronger than a woman. You know, everything in biology speaks about God's mind. You know, that's why he made a woman softer, gave a woman womb, gave a woman breast, made a woman more nurturing, made you stronger. So you have to work. There's no room for laziness, no excuse. If nobody gives you a job, find work. There's a difference. A job is something they give you. Work is something you take by yourself. Look for an area you can do something. Serve somebody. You know, so there's no excuse, basically, for a man not to do anything. However, don't always judge your real value by how much you are earning. Your financial capacity per time is never a real measure of your value. All right, money is never the real value of a person. Many people have missed great opportunities or missed great connections because the person didn't look rich at the time. Jesus said something very important. He said in Luke 12, verse 15, he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. He said, a man's life or the value of a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. That you can't measure a man's worth just by the things he possesses, because there's more to him than what he has. You know, some people might not be rich today, they can become rich in the future. So you can't judge him. Some of us have the dreams inside of us. So despising us or disrespecting us is wasting our time. So as a man, you need to deal with your psyche. Don't attach your value to just your financial capability per time. You are a work in progress. There's more to you than money. There's more to your value than money. All right, so a few advice I have for you as a young man. Don't marry for where you are, but marry for where you are going. So many men, because when they look at the amount of money they have, they feel, oh, I can't approach so-and-so lady. Oh, I can't marry this lady. She has a car. She is working so-and-so place. I'm smaller than her. Don't do that to yourself. Don't marry for where you are. Marry for where you are going. Don't talk down at yourself. Don't discriminate against yourself before you are even discriminated against. You've never talked to this lady. You're already saying, oh, she's bigger than me. Let me look for somebody that I can control. So a lot of men, you know, they are broke. They now go and look for a broker lady. Except that's the person you love. But if you are making that decision because you think you don't have value, then that is wrong. Don't say, I can't marry a lady because she has a big car. No, get to know her first. When me and my wife got married, I had diploma, OND, and she had a master's. It has never had anything to do in our marriage because it didn't move me at all. I didn't measure my value because she was more educated than me. Don't look down at yourself. Speak with confidence at all times. Your value is in what God has put inside you, not in what's in your pocket. A man's life doesn't consist of what he possesses. Next point, under this one. Don't wait to be very rich before you choose a wife. Many men also make that mistake. They say, oh, you know, I need to have so and so millions. I need to have 3 cars. I've actually heard a guy say that he wants in his wedding that all the cars he'll wed with, you know, will be his own cars. He wants to do this, wants to do that. I want to be able to build my own house while I marry. Calm down. Sometimes that entrance of that woman into your life is what will promote your life. All right? He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor. So sometimes, my life couldn't have been like this. If I was waiting to be like this before I married, I would never have married. It was the entrance of my wife into my life that made things go bigger and get better. So if I was waiting to be rich, when I married my wife, you know, I didn't even have 5,000 naira. I mean, if I was owing you if I was owing you 5,000 naira at that time, it's only God that knows when you'll be paid. Because I didn't know when I had no salary, but I had a job. Remember, I had work. I was already a pastor. So I had something I was doing that was growing. But the church wasn't paying me a salary then, but I was living by faith. In other words, you know, I'm not saying you should be jobless. I had a job, but I wasn't rich. But I didn't limit myself to say I had to wait till I was rich before I go and find a wife. Many men make that mistake. So they want to walk and walk and walk and gain too much ground. By the time you grow so big, it will become more difficult to find a woman that loves you for you. Because when you are rich and successful, every woman will like you. Every man will pretend to like you. It's better to choose when you are at the same level. That way you can know people that like you for you. When you are rich and successful, even when you are married, women will still want you. Everybody likes good things. So don't wait till you are too rich. Don't wait till you are too successful. You know, as you are building your life, let that be part of the things you are praying and working on. It's better to pick somebody when you are both young and two of you build together. The bond is usually stronger. And last one, don't depend on money to lead your home. There are many men that size up, you know, their ability to lead based on the amount of money they have in their pocket. You know, they say, oh, the Bible says man is the head. So they think that means I must be the richer person in the home. No, you don't tie your leadership or your headship in the family to the amount of money you provide. You don't do that. You see, this is where a lot of problems have started in marriages, because some men think that my authority to lead in the home is tied to me bringing all the money in the home. And that is not true. It's not true scripturally. It's not true socially. It's not true structurally. It's not true in any way. You can be the head and not be the richest. The president in a country is not necessarily the richest, except it's an African country that is, they don't have account. But in most reasonable countries, the head of the country is not necessarily the richest in the country. But he has to lead. So you don't tie your leadership to money. You must be able to lead. It takes leadership qualities to lead. And this is causing problems in marriages because some men feel, you know, that they must be the sole provider. So I've seen men that have stopped their wife from earning money or from progressing their career because he feels he won't be able to control her if she earns more. Then I've seen cases where women are earning more these days. If you're going to tie your leadership to earning money, you'll be messed up because women are actually earning more these days. Women are earning more. So you is it that you will never marry? What if even when you marry, you were earning more and later she gets promoted or gets a better job? And she starts earning more. So what will happen? You see, the marriage begins to crack because all the while it was built on the man providing, and later the woman started earning more, and it doesn't work. Then totally, you notice that some men think all they need to contribute is money. They don't realize now the world has changed. You see, in the olden days, it was easier for men because all a man needed to do was to bring money home. If the man goes to work and brings money home, the woman was usually at home taking care of the kids and taking care of the home. So she'll be so happy to see him come back from a hard day at work. And he has done, that's all he's going to contribute. He's going to sit down in the house, watch TV, and just not do anything. But today, women are going to work too with men. So both of you go to work together. In fact, she's even earning as much as you or more. Then you get back home, her expectations of you is now higher. Women have higher expectations now because you're not providing for me. She's also providing for herself. So men need to contribute more than money. And many men are not willing to do that. It takes more than money to lead a home. The woman wants you to love her, wants you to respect her, wants you to be romantic, wants you to be attentive. You need to learn those things. Bringing money now is no more enough. And a lot of men have drowned themselves because they thought they were the sole provider. He that does not provide for his house wasn't. That scripture is not talking about marriage at all. All right, let's look at a few points on that scripture. I don't have time to read the whole scripture. Okay, I've done other teachings on it, but you know, there's nowhere in scripture where God says the man should be the sole provider in the home. It's not even insinuated anywhere in scripture. It's never mentioned. The scripture people use is this one, 1 Timothy 5:8. It's usually misquoted and taken out of context. All right, let me read the scripture here. It said, "But if any provide," notice it said if any. See, if any provide not for his own, his especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, stop there. Stop there. Go back. Stop there. Now, people thought this meant, oh, the man should provide in his house. Now, to interpret scriptures, you need to read the scriptures before it and the scriptures after it. Then that's how you get the context, all right? You read the pretext and the other text, then you shall get the context, okay? So the point is that you read what's before it and what's after it. You can't take one line out of context. Now, if you read that 1 Timothy 5, it was scripture where Paul was talking to Timothy about how to relate to different people in the church. So he started with how to relate with older men, older women, younger men, younger women. He was going step by step. Then he finally got to widows. And he began to talk about widows, that, oh, there are some widows that are real widows. There are some widows that shouldn't be among the widows. Those ones will remarry. He started talking about widows, continued talking about widows. Then he got to this point. He now said, look, for those of you here that have relatives as widows, please take care of your relatives so that the church will not be charged. Because what happened there was that the church was paying all the bills for all the widows, and the church couldn't afford it. So they said, you know what? Those of you that have cousins, sisters, whatever, you know, that are widows, you take care of them so that the church will not be charged. That's what we're talking about here. This scripture has nothing to do with a husband and wife in their house or a man provided. Now, this same verse was actually expanded, exactly same verse, but was expanded in verse 16. So I want you to see. Same verse. And from that verse 8 down, they were kept talking about widows. Verse 16 says, if any man or woman that believeth have what? Widows. This was about widows. And they even included man or woman. Say, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that they may relieve them that are widows indeed. You see, this misunderstanding of scriptures have ruined many people. There are many women that could have been great business women, but they just went to sit at home because somebody told them men are meant to provide for them. The challenge with you, women are not even here, so it's men I'm talking to. But the point is that, you know, it's important you do what you need to do. I've seen great women run big businesses. And I've seen some women with potentials not do anything because they're waiting for your man. So the point is that as a man, it's not all about you. You need to learn other qualities of leadership, not just providing money. Okay? What are the wisdom points? Number one, list what makes you valuable. As a man, where is your value tied? What makes you valuable as a man? List them. So for instance, what are your gifts or purposes? What are your skills? What are the things you are good at? Other than money. List some other things that make you valuable. All right? Make a mental picture, research, and list them. Number two, list the leadership qualities you need because you're going to lead a home. It's not just about money. You might marry a woman richer than you. You might marry a woman that also works. So you can't depend on just money. So list leadership qualities that you need to develop. Kindness, vision, discernment. List those qualities and start to work on them. All right? List those qualities and start to work on them. Thank you. Welcome to point number 7. This is the final point. Remember, if you're a lady, even if you're not a lady, if you have not watched the video I did for women titled 7 Mistakes Women, Single Women Make, it's available on my YouTube channel. Go watch it. And if you have not subscribed, please go and subscribe. All right. This is number 7. He's talking about 7 mistakes single men make. Number 7 is not submitting to authority. Not submitting to authority. Most men struggle with this one. You see, they confuse being the head with being heady. That's what I like to say. Because they are the head, they like to be heady. They don't want anybody to talk to them. Don't want to submit to anybody. Listen, as a man, you need other men to speak into your life. Everyone needs a coach. Everyone needs a mentor. You can't run this race alone. Single men make the mistake of not letting other men speak into their lives. You will go further just by having mentors and having other men speak into your life. Very important. All right? Even the best of the best still need coaching. the best of the best athletes, the best business people, the best in every field, they still have the influence of other great people coaching them. The best still need coaches. A Ronaldo still has a coach. Lionel Messi still has a coach. Roger Federer still has a coach. These are world stars. These are renowned people in their field, but they still know the value of having a coach. They still know the value of... So who are you that you don't need a coach? You see, nobody can see 360 of their own life. So you need somebody else that has a view of aspects you don't see. Focus creates blindness. So the biggest mistake you can make is to think because you are good in one field, you will not need coaching. In fact, the fact that you are good in one field is a sign that you need coaching because focus creates blindness. If you are, for instance, you're a good sportsman, you might not be good in your marriage. You will need somebody to speak with you or counsel you or coach you in the area of your marriage. I've seen that happen a lot of times. Great businessman, he loses his marriage because that's the tendency men have to over-focus on one thing. Because the way a man is wired, a woman is generally a bit more versatile. A woman is generally a bit able to multitask. Men are usually very focused beings. So when they're focused on one thing, every other thing around them suffers. And that's where a coach comes in, able to balance your attention for you. All right? So you saw men, they build their business, lose their health. Build their business, lose their marriage. Build their business, lose their kids. Doesn't have to be you. Submit to authority. Let other men speak over your life. They'll motivate you, give you balance, you know. All power, any power that has no balance, you know, is dangerous. All right? So let me read a few scriptures for you. Proverbs 11:14. It said, where no counsel is, the people fail. Where no counsel is, the people fall. It said, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Did you see that? Let me read another one for you. I like this other one. Proverbs 15:22. It said, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Do you see that? Good purpose, but say it will be disappointed without counsel. But in the multitude of counselors, they are what? Established. So you need counsel. Oh, you want to marry another? Be submitted to authority. Let there be somebody else having the overview over you. Just because you are smart doesn't mean you know everything. Just because you are strong doesn't mean you know everything. You are not capable of leading if you two don't have a leader. You are a danger to yourself and to everybody following you if you don't have a leader. I've been a pastor for 20-something years. I still have coaches. I still have a pastor. I'm a relationship coach, but I still have coaches. When I got married, one of the first things I did to my wife, I took her to my mentors and said, look, feel free to report me to these people. You know, there are many men that are uncomfortable with their fiancés or wife reporting them. Please don't be like that. Give her the free hand to talk to your mentors. It will help you. She's the one that can rescue you or save you the day you want to make a bad mistake. I've seen many men ruin their lives or their businesses or their ministries because at the time they were about to make a bad mistake or a bad choice, they didn't have anybody that could speak to them. And even their wives couldn't correct them because they won't listen. If they had a mentor, the wife could have contacted their mentor to talk to them. And maybe they would have seen reason. You don't have to be under casualty. All right? You don't have to be under casualty. So submit yourself to authority and let people speak into your life. It's the best way to live. It doesn't make you less of a man because you submit to another man. All right? This is the struggles men face. It doesn't make you less of a man because you submit to another man. All right? Wisdom points. Number one, how can authority figures help me? So make a mental picture. How and where can authority figures in my life help me? Who are even the authority figures in my life? All right? How can authority figures help me? All right? Point number two, who are the authority figures around me? So, do you have a pastor? If you attend the church, you're a Christian, you attend the church, do you have a relationship with your pastor? If you can't have a relationship with the main pastor, what of the associate pastors? What of leaders in the church? There must be another man in your life that you can open up to, that you can be accountable to. Accountability will save your life. There must be another man you can relate with. So, who are the authority figures? Pastors or elders in church, deacons, things like that. In my career, who are the authority figures? Do I have mentors in my career? People that have gone further ahead of me, either in my office or in another office that I can submit myself to and say, hey, I need your coaching, I need your counsel from time to time. Can I do that? Or maybe it's my family setting. Is it my father, my uncles, or do I have anybody in my family setting, you know, or my neighbors, somebody that is elderly, mature, successful, disciplined, that can help me become better? All right, who are the authority figures around you that you can approach? All right? I hope this has been a great session for you. I hope you've enjoyed this. Don't forget to subscribe. Share this video. Let somebody see it. And don't forget, we have the one for women titled 7 Mistakes Single Ladies Make. Till the next video, I look forward to seeing you. Stay safe.